Menu of COVID, COVID deaths, and other illnesses today. Lots going on. Let me run down a few of the headlines. We'll bring Henry in here, and he can elaborate on as many as he'd like to. Two coronavirus deaths on the Diamond Princess cruise ship. Syracuse, New York couple quarantined at Lackland Air Force Base. Americans brought home. Two more. 5,400 people have been asked to self-quarantine in the state of California. 5,400. Maui officials say because an infected Japanese tourist was asymptomatic, there is no increased risk to Maui residents. Never mind that he also went to Waikiki and was ragingly infected there. Japan... Nagoya, Japan, the cluster there, now five people. Japan releases its first 500 princess passengers after the 14-day quarantine ends. Last one off the boat, 130 or so Indian crew members will remain quarantined for two more weeks on the Corona Princess. Six more Japan cases, five in Tokyo and one in Aichi Prefecture, now infected with the coronavirus. Critics are bashing Japan over their policy and disastrous handling of this pandemic. Expatriates flee Hong Kong over protests and the coronavirus. So there's an exodus going on from Hong Kong. South Korean church cluster in Daegu brings total number of cases to 46 there. Iran now has announced that two people have died in Iran from the coronavirus. Foreign Office tells Brits not to leave the Corona Princess, while the flight for uninfected Brits is readied. David and Sally Abel are not going home on it. COVID confirmed cases in China now from Henry. Just got this, 74,000 cases and deaths up to 2,100. It goes on. First suspected coronavirus case in Honduras, but it's a Chinese national. Interesting. Thousands of Chinese have escaped China and run into Vietnam across a weakly defended and monitored portion of the China-Vietnam border. There's a big flight underway there now. Chinese film director and his entire family die from the coronavirus. And another Wuhan hospital head is now in critical condition with COVID. He's a different one than one that died last week. This is not a good situation, and it's getting worse. Henry, wading through all this, it's a daunting task. Tell us what's on the top of your menu tonight.
It's still the Diamond Princess, and... The data that came out after last night's talk, it came out like at 3 a.m. or so. It's coming out later and later, yeah. But there were 79 more positives that came out. So that brings the total of confirmed cases to 621. And, the vast majority of those 79 were asymptomatic. 68 were asymptomatic out of 79.
At the time of testing?
Correct. And apparently with their death, which I'm not sure exactly what it is. And so, yeah, that's how they had them classified. These were probably mostly those that have never been tested. So it's kind of like this latest result is the beginning of the last test, so to speak. So this is the test that if you're still negative, or if you're negative on this test, you're free to leave. And they're going to be doing this in probably three or four sets. So this one tested 607. They're going to be in that ballpark. So there's going to be 600 to 800 or so tested each day. And the results that normally would have been out already haven't been out. They probably won't be out until 2 or 3 in the morning, judging past recent performance. And so this is essentially to get everybody tested, passengers and crews. And as far as they're concerned, if you are negative now, you're free to go. And as far as the rest of the world
is concerned. Henry, how wise of a program is that? How smart is that? Really?
It's stupid. It makes no sense because they're getting positives every day. Yes. And no country is going to let anybody in. All of the people that are flying out on a country-sponsored airline, they're basically taking them home, are putting them in a 14-day quarantine. What was on the ship, all the ship did was increase the number positive that is now at... what is it? It's 621 and counting. I mean, it'll be over 700 after today's results. And right. Then there's going to be 2 or 3 more. So it's going to be 800 or 900. And that's assuming that the test in Japan is as sensitive as some of the other tests. So we're going to find out. I mean, the cases in the U.S. are going to get tested by the CDC to get a baseline to see who's positive and who's negative. And I'm trying to get a list of exactly how many are positive, but it's going to be more than the 14 that were identified previously. Because as I said last night, that the 14 were based on the results that came back 2 days ago. That wasn't based upon the results that came back last night, which had 79 more positives. I strongly suspect that some of those 79 positives were Americans who are now in the United States. And so the CDC got those results, and they got the 14. So they got 14 plus X. I don't know what X is. It might be another 14. And those are among the 328 that were flown over here. So there's 328. One test said 14 of them are positive, and the second test, it wasn't broken down. There were just 79, and out of those 79, I think 29 were Japanese, and the rest were a variety of citizens from countries other than Japan, but it didn't really break that out. So I'm not sure how many of those were Americans, but the U.S. Passengers are in 3 different locations. They were divided up initially 151. I'm not sure which way it went. I think 151 went to Lackland Air Force Base in Texas, 177 went to Travis Air Force Base in California. And then from those, 13 went to the University of Nebraska Center in Omaha. And so those are the 3 areas. Now, the ones that are Lackland and Travis, those are supposed to be passengers undergoing the quarantine. So they don't want any positives there. So if for the ones that were identified as being positive, they're putting them into local hospitals, and they've filled up the local hospitals already. And so they're already overflowing. And that's what I had mentioned yesterday, that in the Napa County, which is not right. where Lackland is, I'm sorry, not where Travis is, it's next door to it. They've got two, one of which was confirmed by Japan, and she's from Olympia, Washington. She's been identified who she is, and she's been interviewed by media, and she's happy to be there, and she thought she was home free because she didn't have any symptoms, and then she found out that she was positive. So, mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure that the ones that are asymptomatic are in hospitals near the two Air Force bases. If they are symptomatic, then they'll send them to the Nebraska campus in Omaha. And that's how they're being divided up. But the CDC really hasn't issued anything that says exactly how many were positive. They said there were 14 positives while they were still in Japan, and they were already on the bus, and they ended up bringing them back in a separate area of the plane. But then they haven't really said how many were positive based upon the next day's test. Now, I'm not sure that there's still Americans being tested in the results that are going to come tonight. But that is probably impacting other countries. And some of the countries have postponed their flight because they essentially want to get the full set of data and potentially take the positives and leave them in Japan. Now, Japan's had a capacity issue and they're already backlogged. So David and Sally Abel are in a hospice, not a hospital, because the hospitals are full. And so they're waiting. There's a new facility up in Aichi province that I think it's going to start accepting patients the first of the March 1st. And so they're going to essentially go into the hospitals until either beds open up in the existing hospitals in the Tokyo area, or they're going to go to Aichi. I think that's 4 or 6 hours away, and that's where they're going to start putting people. But there's still going to be a problem because Japan is getting local transmission now. So their numbers are going up, and they are actually moving into number one behind China or the Diamond Princess. The Diamond Princess is the number one place outside of China. And then Singapore and Japan are battling each other. One's got 84, the other's got 85. Japan's got 85. So they are right behind the Diamond Princess. So they've got 85, not counting all of the passengers on the Diamond Princess, and not counting the two deaths, which were both Japanese. Right. One was a 87-year-old male, and the other was an 84-year-old female. One went in the hospital on the 11th, the other went on the 12th, and they both died today. Or technically, it's tomorrow, I think. They died, you know, on the 20th Japan time. So those are the first two deaths. It's unlikely that those are going to be the last deaths. And they, you know, were in the older group. You know, most of the passengers were in their 60s and 70s. These were both in their 80s. So the 80 and over was one of the smaller groups, but those would be the those most at risk, and they both had underlying conditions, but they didn't say what those conditions
were. Well, David Abel has diabetes, and I guess they're no longer putting things up on social media. Be interesting to see if they do add any more. We don't know if they're together in the same building. I don't have any knowledge of that.
Yeah, I think their son was putting some things up, and he was doing some interviews in the UK. I don't know a whole lot other than they were going to a hospice and to wait to get a to get beds in the hospital, and I don't know whether they would be together under those circumstances or not. I'm not sure how the hospitals are set up in Japan. I know that in the U.S., they're all separate. So they're in separate beds and in the hospital and in the quarantine centers, and so they're basically trying to minimize any type of cross-contamination, which did not happen on the ship. That's why they're undergoing that type of criticism. The infectious disease person who got on board has been interviewed by media, you know, lots of media. So his story is getting out there. He was appalled at the lack of infection control. And he was
one of the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life. I kid you not.
Yeah. And the person in charge didn't have a medical. I'm not sure. I think he had a business background. And then the person that's making the announcements from the head of the Ministry of Health, he has no medical background. And so these guys are in charge of, you know, telling who to go where, but they have no idea.
It sounds like Fukushima all over again.
you can't mix. You can't have these guys in hazmat suits walking from the contaminated area to the non-contaminated area. And, you know, the hazmat suits protect them from the virus, but they don't protect the passenger from the virus. And they're not cleaning the rooms, and they're leaving people in the contaminated room. If it's a couple and one of them's positive, they leave and the other one is stuck in that room. I mean, it's just absurd. I mean, there, even common sense will tell you that if you have two people in the room and one's positive, you don't take the one out and leave the other one in the room with whatever virus was there. It just, and they get, you know, it's not like it wasn't obvious after the first day or the second day or the third day or the fourth day or the fifth day. Every day there have been positives, and there have been a lot of positives. There have been between, I think, 67 and 99 per day for the last 5 or 6 days. But even the first day, they had 10 out of 31. They only tested 31 people, and they had 10 positives. That alone was going to tell you, since there were 3,700 and they tested less than 1% of them and got 10 positives, that you had to get them off that ship. The idea of leaving them on the ship and having untrained personnel kind of walking around in hazmat to spreading the virus all over the ship is just, you know, it's...
Well,
you
we
got
talked
exactly
about it
what would
right
be,
here.
What would be expected?
I called, and you called. We said everybody's got to be taken off that ship and repatriated as soon as possible. Never happened.
Right. And it just, well, it's happening now, but it's happening, you know, after
they're going to bury a certain percentage of them, no doubt.
I mean, they literally have a boatload of virus. You know, it's ridiculous. And, that's basically how they handled it. That's why they came under attack from, you know, how it was handled. And now, you know, the complication is exactly what are these other countries doing? Because are they waiting until they get the full set of results, which is probably going to be the end of this week? And then the ones that are positive are going to go into hospitals. And so the number that are going to be offloaded to Japan is going to keep on going up. And alternatively, they could do what the U.S. did is most of these cases are asymptomatic. So they've got the virus. But, you know, well, that's what the other question is. It's really not clear if they're asymptomatic because they had a low dose of virus and they've got enough to be detected on the test, but they really aren't going to get very sick and they're not going to be very infectious. Or is it just because they were recently infected and that their viral load is going to increase? And as it increases, they are going to get symptoms. They are going to be infectious. And some of them, since most of these are 67 years old with underlying conditions, you could conceivably get significantly worse. I mean, the number the number in the hospital that are in serious or critical condition is now up to 26. So there's two that have died, and there's 26 more that are
in serious
or critical condition. Right, yeah. And it goes up every day. Yeah, it was 20 yesterday, now it's 26. Yeah. And so the numbers are going up, and the two that died, they were there for over a week in the hospital before they died. So there's a lag time as far as the deaths are concerned and chances, all of the progression.
Chances, Henry, of the Olympics being held in Japan this summer are slim and none.
Yeah. Well, it kind of depends on how things progress. I mean, one of the problems is that there are preliminary events, qualifying events, and teams are supposed to be going over now. I don't think anybody's going over now.
Nope.
And then to get an idea how things are going to sort out, you know, it's we're one day away from the 17-year anniversary of the explosion of SARS. And it was on the 21st of February, which would be a day away. It's already the 20th there and in China, that the physician checked into the Metropole Hotel. So 17 years ago, the SARS outbreak hadn't really taken off. There were about 300 cases over the prior 3 months. And there were 5 deaths. There were only 5 deaths at this time in 2003. And then it took off because the one physician went to the Metropole Hotel, and then people got infected. And the one that ended up going to Montreal, she left like 2 days from now. And so she was en route, and she died. She never even got to the hospital. She died at home and infected her son, and he died at the hospital. And the doctor died, and his brother-in-law, who he went shopping with the day he came, he died. And it was 17 years ago, all these people were still alive, and he had not checked into the hotel yet. He was getting ready to arrive in Hong Kong from Guangdong province for a wedding. So the point is that if it follows the course of SARS, it may be significantly less by the time of the summertime. But how bad it's going to get before that, and whether Japan's going to be, better or worse, it's possible by April or May, places like the United States will look worse than Japan is right now. You know, it's hard to predict how wide spread it will be and what kind of activities will be curtailed. And you know, it could be that the Olympics aren't going to be anywhere. Yeah. Because
no, they're not going to happen. They're already being talked about to possibly move to London. They got facilities there. There's already a discussion. This is a wonderful place to move. Watch what happens there.
London's going to be like, right?
Crazy.
Right.
So, no, it's all crazy. One step to the next.
To predict exactly how it's going to be. I mean, the countries that are most at risk right now are Singapore and Japan. But South Korea is very close, and Hong Kong is very close. And that it's going to continue to spread. I mean, right now it's below the radar in the U.S. I mean, the thing that's above the radar are all of the passengers from the Diamond Princess. So there's going to be there's probably going to be 100 cases in the U.S. from those that arrived, and then there's another 40-something, I think 46, that are in Japan that are being treated in hospitals there. And so the U.S. is you know, closing in on 100, and by the time everybody gets tested, we'll almost certainly be above 100. And those will probably all be contained because they've already been identified, and they're either in the quarantine facility or they're in hospitals. And so they're not really the major source. But there's another, there's 100 that are either on the ship or in the hospital still. And CDC did put out a press release, you know, telling those that did not come on the two planes are not getting back into the U.S. until they've gone through a 14-day quarantine period. And they're
I'd like to know, Henry, I'd like to know more about the 5,400 people who have now been asked formally to self-quarantine in California. Are they all going to be tested? How did they become selected for self-quarantine requests? And there's almost 800 in Washington State. Yes, that's right. That's right.
Because they came from China. I mean, that's who is being requested to self-quarantine. So they're basically basing it upon where they left. And if they came from China, then they're saying to self-quarantine for 14 days and check in.
In San Gabriel in L.A., I have a friend, and San Gabriel is like 70%, 80% almost Chinese. He said, there are masks everywhere. Everybody's wearing masks, all the Chinese in his community.
Right.
So do they know something? Well, are they keeping things quiet? Don't know.
No. They wore masks during SARS, and they're wearing masks now. They're wearing masks because there's a lot of virus in China. And some people are coming over from China. And there's people that there's a lot of virus in Japan and Singapore and South Korea and Hong Kong, and people are coming from those areas, and they're probably more likely to end up in the same areas that are heavily populated with Chinese, and so they're putting on the masks. I don't know how the masks are really more effective for people that are infected.
Who are infected, yes.
And getting the virus out through a cough than they are from keeping the virus from getting in. But as far as knowing somebody that they know is positive, I doubt that. They just know that there's virus out there, and that's one thing they can do. And even though it's probably not that effective, and they're going to wear masks, and they're wearing masks all over the places, all over the United States and all over the world. And that's, and you had noted that Amazon was sold out of masks very early, and there's a shortage of masks, and a lot of different people. I haven't been in an airport lately, but I think that airports are pretty well. A high percentage of the passengers are wearing masks.
There's a debate online about
on the West Coast.
What you alluded to, are masks effective, especially so for the sick? They're very helpful there. For the not ill, all I can tell you is it's better to have one than not if you're going to be around people who are shedding virus. All right? Masks, the N95s are good down to 0.003 micron, and that's about the size of this coronavirus. So it's kind of a 50-50 thing. But I'd rather have one on to catch the larger particulates that may be in the air than not. So,
right, and that's why it's more effective going out, because if you kind of sneeze or cough, it's going to keep, you know, most of it in the mask, and it offers that type of protection. But I mean, the issue is that the numbers are going up as far as these various countries that are mostly adjacent to China, and they're getting local transmission. And the example is that cluster that you mentioned, Aichi. That cluster is includes the two that went to Hawaii. That they originated in Japan. Mm-hmm. They went to Hawaii. He developed symptoms on the second island he went to, and then he flew back to Japan.
Wow.
And then he was positive when he got there. And then his wife, she wasn't symptomatic in Hawaii, but she was when she got back there. And so she tested positive. And then two contacts of his tested positive. And then I think it was the person that was monitoring her initially. So I think she was first being monitored because her husband was positive, but she wasn't symptomatic yet. And I think the person monitoring her is the one that just was confirmed yesterday, and that she's in her 50s. His two contacts were both 60. He was 60. I think were both 60. And so that's a cluster of five. And then there's another cluster of three that are men in their 60s that are definitely linked to each other. And it wasn't quite clear whether that cluster of three is linked to the cluster of five. But they basically have eight people there in that province that have been confirmed. At a minimum, they represent a cluster of five and a cluster of three. And the only outside travel was a trip to Hawaii. So, you know, it was close enough in time that it's not clear if he was infected right before he left or right after he arrived. And so the source of his virus is really not that well known. Now they may be able to determine that based upon sequencing it. They could sequence that and see if it's unusual. In all likelihood, the five in the cluster will all have that same sequence. And whether the other three in Aichi will have that same sequence, if they have the same sequence but they're not linked to him, then it's likely that he got infected in that province by somebody else that hasn't been identified. But the point is that if that is the case, then all eight of those people were affected by somebody in Japan. And that's local transmission, and they've got, you know, eight people in that province. And then I think the number in Japan, not counting all of those that were on the cruise ship, I think is up to 84. So they've got 84. The vast majority of them are local. And that's kind of how these, that's what happened with Hong Kong. Hong Kong was the same thing, like the first 10 or 12 positives were linked back to the mainland. These were people, most of them came by rail to Hong Kong, and they were identified as you know, being imported cases. But then everything since then, or I think there were three or four that were imported since then, but the vast majority of those after that were local. These were people that were positive. They have no recent history of travel, and they got infected by, they have no idea who they got infected by. They just know that they got infected in Hong Kong. And it's the same thing with Japan. Most of them, I mean, the three other ones in the cluster know that they got infected by the husband and wife. So they know that one because they were a cluster. And linked to them. The other three that are linked to each other, I'm not sure that they've identified them as being part of the five-person cluster.
Here's one that I hadn't heard before. An Oregon comedian, this guy was on the Westerdam ship that finally docked in Cambodia. An Oregon comedian who had been stranded on a Holland America cruise ship in Cambodia due to the COVID-19 virus managed to get a flight back to Oregon, to SeaTac Airport and then down to Oregon, by breaking quarantine in a hotel where the ship's passengers were being held pending test results. Frank King arrived at SeaTac Airport Monday afternoon on his way home to Eugene, which is about 2.5 hours north of me. He was a performer on the MS Westerdam when their two-week cruise turned into quite the saga after a former passenger tested positive. So he snuck out of the hotel and flew home.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the questions is, theoretically, they could distribute the list of their, you know, all of the passengers on them, and they could, you know, basically put up an alert at you know, the airports. And so when he showed his passport to get a ticket, they would say that, you know, you're under quarantine and you can't fly. So the fact that he was able to do it, unless he's got two passports, which I guess is conceivable. He seemed to be able to get past that. It's possible they didn't set that up for the for that ship because they've got one positive and they haven't really got a handle.
We don't know.
How many
we don't know what they're testing. What they put these people in quarantine? Yeah, we don't know yet.
No, I think you do. I think if they had positives, it would have been announced. So I think they're in.
Did
quarantine
they test everyone on that ship? That's the question. I don't know the answer. The Western.
No, not at all. They only tested about 20 people. The testing was very limited. And the person that was positive wasn't identified by them testing her. She was symptomatic when she was getting ready to fly back to the U.S. out of Kuala Lumpur. So she was at the airport there, and she was symptomatic, and they tested her, and she was positive. So the ship didn't come up with any positives. The positive was done at the airport, and then it was redone. And so she was positive twice. But as far as testing and what they're doing with all of the ones that are quarantined, I would assume they're testing them. And they're trying to find out how many people on board that ship actually were positive and whether this was, you know, somebody that was infected but didn't infect others on the ship, which is unlikely, but the history of that person isn't really that clear. I didn't follow that ship as closely as I did the
Well, he's back home in Eugene, Oregon, Springfield actually, which is right next to it, and says he doesn't need to be quarantined. He's perfectly virus free. Self-pronounced, I guess. That's what the story says. So
yeah,
well
it sounds like he wasn't, unless they, you know, collected samples and told everybody to stay in the hotel and it will give you your results, and if they're negative, you're free to go. apparently didn't wait for the results, is what I'm guessing from what you read. I don't have the details, right. So I think I saw the headline.
I'll send you this. It's kind of a brief story. I'll send it over. But.
Yeah, and so, that's another question is on that ship. There was one positive, and I don't know that it's that widespread, because I think that if anybody else came up positive, that that would have been a big headline. And they would certainly be testing, many more than the 10-day initially tested to find out exactly how widespread that one was. I've been trying to get a list of how many are positive in the U.S. And I think there's about a dozen that are in hospitals in Northern California at this time. And where there's an equal number in Lackland in Texas, I don't know. I haven't been able to confirm that yet. And I haven't seen any notifications on how many Americans were on the following day's test. But I'm virtually right. positive there were some, because I think it takes a couple of days to get the results. I'm not sure why it takes that long, because I thought that since these were especially
the swab
ones
test.
That were going...
Yeah, the swab. Yeah, the PCR swab test.
Well, the kits that they sent out, I know they sent the kits that had kind of passed the tests at the five centers where they were basically doing surveillance. But I guess I was assuming that if they were taking them into these two quarantine centers, that they would have something on site. But I guess that's a bad assumption, because I know in Miramar, I'm pretty sure they were taking them down to Hillcrest Hospital, and so I'm not sure they were staying at Miramar or if they were going to Hillcrest to be tested or be hospitalized. I'm not sure, but I know there were two in San Diego and there was one at Lackland, and I think there were some complaints that they weren't being hospitalized on site, and I don't know exactly where they were being tested. I don't know if they were just collecting the samples and then flying them back to Atlanta. So exactly
according
how
to,
that's all being processed.
According to government stats, Chinese government stats, the CFR right now, using the current data, is running at 21%.
Yeah, based on the outcomes they have. Yeah, and
right.
that's kind of what it's expected to be. It's going to be in the double digits. The only way it's going to be lower is if you take these cases that basically never developed pneumonia, and you throw those in, and that's how they get the number lower. But that isn't how. I mean, they do an apples to oranges comparison, because SARS was defined by having pneumonia, and so when they did the stats on what the CFR for SARS was. That was what the CFR was for pneumonia cases. And then for this outbreak, they're basically taking mild cases that really never developed pneumonia. And they're using those as being cases. And the cases that don't develop pneumonia, the case fatality rate is zero. I don't think there are any examples of anybody dying without getting pneumonia. Most of them get the pneumonia, and that leads to breathing difficulties, and then that gets worse, and then they end up dying. But they go through, most of them are on some type of support when they do die. Their biggest problem is they really can't keep their blood oxygenated, and that creates more problems after that. So that's kind of where things stand on the ship. But how many people are in the U.S. That are positive? The CDC hasn't come out with a number my guess is it's going to be, 50, 60 cases. And again, like I said, I don't know if these are going to be relatively mild cases because most of them are asymptomatic. Well, they were theoretically anyway asymptomatic when they came over here. But some seem to have developed some symptoms on the way over. And that's an indication that in all likelihood, they're going to have more that become symptomatic and more that have to go into hospitals, since they're going to put all the symptomatic ones in Omaha. They're probably going to run into some capacity problems, especially if they start getting any additional cases that are picked up by their surveillance. That surveillance at the five cities just got started, and so it's the type of thing that a lot of that's going to fly under the radar initially because people that are infected and have mild cases like colds, they're really not going to go to the doctor and say, I've got a cold, see if I've got viral pneumonia. And they'll say, just got a cold, viral pneumonia. And so they're only going to be picking those up that start to get to be a little bit more advanced. And what happened with SARS is these were generally older patients some of them weren't that old. They were in their 40s, most of them were in their 50s or 60s, some were in their 70s, and so they were older, but they weren't so old would normally expect them to be on ECMO machines and die a few weeks or months later. Now okay.
Where we are right now, let's wrap this up and give a projection. The best of your ability. Right now, what we know.
Well, I think that the projection is that, A, there's going to be an influx of cases just because we came in on the cruise. And I think that that there will be local transmission. And most of the initial cases will be on the milder side because there's more of them. And so if they're not looking for pneumonia, they're just looking for flu-like symptoms that are negative on a flu test. They're probably going to get more of the milder cases than the more severe cases. As the flu season starts to wind down, I think it's going to be easier to identify the cases that are under the radar. So if it's going into mid to late March and you have kind of flu symptoms, then you're more likely to go see a doctor because it's less likely that it's the flu, and then that may really be the beginning of local transmission cases being identified. So, because right now the flu season is kind of, there was a bit of a comeback from H1N1. So there's kind of another wave of flu, and people are assuming they have the flu, and whether they go to the doctor for the flu or not, most depends on the person or what their situation is. So I think to get the people to the doctors, it probably needs to go a little bit past the flu season. And as it starts winding down in March, which it typically does, then the ones that have flu-like symptoms because they've got a coronavirus are more likely to seek attention. So I think there will be local transmission. I think there's already people here that have it and are transmitting it, but they've got milder cases.
In the Chinese communities, especially, I would think. Because they go back and forth. Could be anywhere, but for openers, it would be the...
Well, a couple of the examples that kind of made the news were that they weren't Chinese. The one guy that went to the meeting in Singapore, he was British, and then he went to France, and so I think that's up to 12
now.
Right. All of those are British cases, but they're been identified in Britain and Spain, but also in France. And those were milder cases, but they did have the virus. And there was some onward transmission. And there's some cases that haven't really been identified yet. They had said that they were symptomatic. And the same thing happened in Germany. Most of those cases in Germany are Germans, and they are milder cases also. So my prediction is that everybody on that ship that ends up getting very sick and potentially dying are not going to be Chinese or Asian. The first few to die that year is Japanese. But they won't be limited to Asian. So I think there will be local transmissions. The numbers will start going up. It might take a couple of weeks for that to happen. And I think there are a pretty high number of people that are here. They have milder disease and haven't been identified yet. But the numbers are going up in enough different countries that there's a reasonable chance that the numbers will go up. I think there's a little bit of a lag now because of the limitations in China. Those numbers, at least the reported numbers, are starting to... the numbers are still going up, but they're not going up as quickly. And so it does seem to be having an effect of slowing down the virus. But it's not sure how long they can maintain these... everybody staying at home type of a situation. And
well, the country is already pretty well ground to a halt. We're seeing the supply chain is beginning to disintegrate now. Ships are sitting anchored full of containers or empty, no containers. Right. It's just nothing's moving. So
but that's what I'm saying. There's going to be pressure to say, it looks like it's under control.
It's over.
And it's time to start going back to work.
That's right.
It's not really clear how well that is under control. And the numbers are so much higher than they were with SARS that even though SARS kind of faded away in April and May, these viruses, that there's so many more people that are infected, may really take hold and be in the human population and then come back every year so that each fall, because that's what happened with SARS. It did come back, but it was smaller, and they got it under control. But there was another round at the end of 2003, beginning of 2004. It just wasn't as big. So it's possible that it'll be in the human population and stay in
all
the
right.
human population.
Okay. All right. Thank you again. We got to run. See you tomorrow night, Henry. We'll keep watching it.
Okay.
Try and get some rest.
Okay.
Good night.
Take care.